The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gau Media station.
It was tough. You know, we had a hell of a season. You know, we went through that stretch and we lost those games, and everybody talked about, you know, how we looked like we didn't care. And, you know, this isn't the locker room that looked like the guys don't care. I love my brothers, man.
All right, there was an awful lot of crying this weekend. We've got a Final Four, and we got a football team in Las Vegas, and a lot more to get to, so let's do it. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on. For a Monday, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, John Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Let's have some fun. What's going on, Hoffman?
Sports, stuff like that. What's going on with you, Falcon?
The same.
Good to hear.
How was your weekend?
I've got no complaints. No complaints. It was solid.
Like to hear that.
I had probably the best meal I've had since coming to Houston on Friday night.
Okay, so that was worth it then. You're missing the show and having...
Yeah, I had a buddy in town from Chicago, like a childhood friend I don't get to see very often, so I took Friday off, and he wanted to have a good meal.
Right.
While he was down, so we got reservations, and it did not disappoint. It did not disappoint. And then after our meal, I went... we went to my house and we had a few people over and we did like sort of a bottle share, drank a bunch of beer.
That's always fun.
Like 30-something bottles of beer between seven of us. And that went on until about 3:30 a.m. And at about 6:30 a.m., my four-year-old came into my room fully dressed in his T-ball uniform, ready for his game that started at 10, but was rained out. So he was severely disappointed. I was less disappointed that it was rained out. But, yeah, and then yesterday was kind of low-key. Just hung out a little bit, watched some hoops, and, you know, that was, it was some good games. Some good games this weekend. Way better than the first week. There weren't a lot of close games week one of the tournament.
No.
Week two, it had some drama.
Oh, yeah. And I think that tends to happen as you get the better teams. You get teams get experience. And I thought the Kentucky North Carolina game was probably my favorite game to watch of all of them. And that just was – it was close the whole way. It wasn't one where – somebody made a huge run to get away from him. It just stayed pretty close.
Yeah.
Came down to the end. Just good basketball.
Well, it's funny. It was like a 10-0 run that put Kentucky up.
Yeah.
And then North Carolina had like a 12-0 run. And then Kentucky came all the way back and tied it with 7 seconds left in the game. You're thinking, man, this is crazy. And I saw a video. It was so great of – a group of Kentucky fans at a bar.
That's what we played to open the show.
Okay. Yeah.
They were screaming.
They hit that shot, and it was like pandemonium. Like, they just won the title. And
it's like, it's still tied, guys.
And then, like, there's always the one guy who's still cheering because he was too busy, too excited that he didn't see what happened on the other end.
You hear the, oh.
Yeah. But the one guy was still hands in the air.
The one that was giving the middle finger to the TV?
Yeah, he was so stoked and then realized, oh, wait, what happened? Yeah, so it was heartbreak for Kentucky. But let's face it.
We were at a very pro-Kentucky bar where we were watching it, and it was I enjoyed the reaction as much as anything.
See, now, I was at Torchy's, and I was maybe one of two people watching the game, and I started screaming when that shot went in, and people looked at me weird.
Okay. Well, I was, as someone who was cheering for North Carolina to win, I thought it was a great finish. I could see it being just brutal if you're a Kentucky fan or if you had Kentucky in your bracket. I just think regardless, it's a great basketball finish. I mean,
Yeah.
It's hard to beat that, especially considering it's like the guy who hit it was a walk-on. And, I mean, essentially a scrub. And it's so funny when I was like, I was thinking they have a timeout. And I went through my head that Luke May's on the floor and they're just running it down with 7 seconds left. Like, why aren't they calling a timeout and putting their good players in? And of all the people they could have given it to, that's the guy they give it to. And Jackson, who's probably their best player, said, I saw him out there, I got it to him, and as soon as he let it go, I knew it was good. I was like, wow, I mean, that's a lot of faith. I mean, it's essentially Michael Jordan passing it off to Paxson, and, you know, or you know, some guy, some scrub that you wouldn't expect to make the game winner. That's who makes it.
That's a great moment of the tournament, though.
Yeah.
And they had some other, you know, obviously South Carolina, that was that was an interesting game. I kind of thought it would be in the 50s, to be honest. And both offenses actually produced quite a bit against two very good defensive teams. And South Carolina in the Final Four. Wow. Good for Frank Martin, though. I remember, was it last year when we interviewed him for the Final Four? Yeah. And he just sat around and BS'd with us for 20 minutes afterwards.
Yeah. Frank Martin's an interesting dude because, I mean, he literally left Kansas State under about as bad a circumstance as you can. And he was having a power struggle with the AD. He had about three of his rotation players ready to transfer because they didn't like playing for him because he's a bully. And let's face it, at a place like Kansas State, if you lose three rotation guys, you might as well not be a team anymore. I mean, places like that can't afford to lose three guys that get big time minutes. So he leaves to a school that is, I mean, I would say no more of a basketball school than Kansas State.
Probably less of a basketball school.
Yeah. So he's probably taking a lesser job. And then they get seated a 7, which is about as generous as the committee could have been with them. They get seated a 7, and their first two games are essentially home games. Because in North Carolina, they don't like to let people choose what bathroom they use.
Right.
So they got home games out of that. And an overseeded 7 seed with a relatively new coach that most players at his last stop didn't like playing for, now has a team in a Final Four. And it's a pretty amazing story. I mean, God, I don't like watching South Carolina play. It's brutal to me.
Yeah, it is.
It's just not fun basketball. I mean, and college basketball, I watch a lot of college basketball. It's not my favorite thing to watch. And South Carolina is the kind of teams that make it really tough to watch sometimes.
Yeah.
But
well, Florida, too.
They play
the same style.
They're the same. And guess what's going to happen in the Final Four? Gonzaga's no peach on offense. They're better than Florida and South Carolina, but it's going to be sort of a grinding game, which, you know, I guess that's what South Carolina would hope for. They should be in it. I will say this: if North Carolina doesn't win the tournament, it's a huge upset.
Yeah,
I mean, from a talent perspective, they're just worlds ahead of everyone else there from an experience perspective. Their coach is worlds ahead of everyone else. I mean, they
do tend to play a little stupid at times, but yeah. That's what you have when you have that many young players. And they're just so much more talented.
At the beginning of the tournament, if North Carolina is at their best, they are the best team. So if everybody plays their best, I'll give it to North Carolina.
Yeah.
But it's not the kind of thing where I could just say North Carolina's the best team, because North Carolina, they do bonehead stuff all the time. So it's going to be a matter of who shows up, you know, what Roy Williams' team shows up. We've seen right. Roy Williams' teams choke in big moments, and we've seen Roy Williams' teams cut down nets. So I think – but there's definitely the pressure on Roy Williams in North Carolina that's not on these other guys who – let's face it, most people didn't expect to be here. I mean, even Gonzaga was, I want to say they were 25-1 preseason, maybe 30-1 preseason. Well,
and even as a one seed, they were the one seed that you'd say, oh, these guys aren't going to get there.
Which is funny because they lost one game this year.
Yeah. You know?
But I didn't take Gonzaga seriously. And
I wrote off Oregon after the injury. I just didn't think they'd be good enough. And
Oregon, and by the way, Oregon's luck boxed their way into a couple wins that they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Everybody takes their different roads to get there, and they're all there. So I'm excited for it.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. You can also text the show. Be happy to take your calls, and let's have some fun today.
Let's do it. And I got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, guys, the weather, beautiful today. It's supposed to be beautiful tomorrow. And if you want to spend more time outdoors, and you've got a grayed out patio or a faded pool deck, and it's just kind of bumming you out, get with the guys at Allied Outdoor Solutions. Let them get you some carved stone overlay, which gives you a superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your home, so it looks great, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind it with a 7-year warranty. If you've currently got a blank slate back there, no problem. Allied will build it from the ground up, whether you want a functional concrete patio or you want to go big boy and get the outdoor kitchen and patio cover you've been dreaming of. They can do that. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they'll save you some money as well. They offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. They're an accredited member of the Better Business Bureau since 2009 with an A-plus rating. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay. Get the look and feel of real stone for less money from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Trying to rebook a flight here since I forgot I have to be at Sam Houston Saturday night, so I'm not going to be able to come back from Phoenix when I wanted to. Oh, well.
Boo.
I give Southwest credit, though. At least on their...
They make it easy to change?
Well, they usually have in the past, but I was just going to say they're, at least on their flights to and from Chicago, they've upgraded their flight attendant game.
Nice.
So, always a plus. It wasn't cranky old ladies. Let's squeeze in some phone calls. We will start with Chris. Chris, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports to you, sir.
Love the show. Just had a funny little story about that North Carolina and Kentucky game. Me and my brother-in-law are sitting there watching the game. We didn't really have a dog in the fight, so each one of those shots that was hit, we were just like, oh, my God. And my little 19-month-old daughter was stuck her lip out as far as possible and was just burst into tears because we scared the crap out of her. Just thought it was a funny little story I'd share with you guys, but it would definitely be a disappointment if North Carolina doesn't win this thing.
Yeah, I mean, it would be disappointing in that it would be disappointed if you're a North Carolina fan. And at this point, I'm eliminated from any chance of winning the bracket contest, so I don't even care who wins. But, and honestly, I think it's, oddly enough, our bracket pool is down to two people have a chance at winning. I think they are the only two people who had two of the four Final Four teams in. Two people had Oregon and North Carolina. And one of them is a guy who got laid off last week. And the other one is my wife. And it's going to come down to the Oregon-North Carolina. So I actually hope North Carolina loses for the sake of my wife making a few bucks.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. It would be awkward to have to call somebody and say, hey, we've got kind of the equivalent of an extra severance check for you.
Yeah. He knows. He knows. He texted me and said, hey, by the way, I'll be back for my money.
Good. All right.
All right. Let's try Philip. What's up, Phil?
Hello.
Yep. Hey now.
Hey guys, sports.
Sports to you.
Just the prior gentleman talked about North Carolina. I'm a Kentucky fan, and so last night you can probably imagine how I'm feeling today. I did want to hear y'all's thoughts on the selection committee. I kind of feel like they probably think they got it right with how crazy everything's been. But with that said, would y'all agree that Kentucky, North Carolina both deserve to be in the Final Four? And had seeding been done a little differently, I mean, I guess this is woulda, coulda type situation, but I think, you know, the Gonzagas of the world wouldn't be there if Kentucky were placed somewhere else. I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts.
Well, my thoughts are this. I thought that they sort of did a disservice to North Carolina by putting them in the region with Kentucky and UCLA. Kentucky, who I thought was the second strongest two seed behind Arizona, and UCLA, who I thought was the strongest third seed. It just seemed like a pretty stacked region. And especially when you considered, you know, what Villanova had to go through in their bracket. They were supposed to be the number one overall seed, and they had a pretty tough road to hoe. I mean, they caught Wisconsin in the second round, who Wisconsin probably should have been a six seed, and instead they were an eight. So that's your reward for being the number one overall seed. Meanwhile, Gonzaga got the winner. Gonzaga got a team who had never played in the NCAA tournament before. So
yeah.
Villanova, the number one overall seed, got a team that had gone to three straight Sweet 16s. Gonzaga got a team in the second round that's never been to the tournament before. That seems legit. But, yeah, I thought that there was some weird seeding things. And this is what I always say about it. You can complain about the way things were seeded before the tournament starts.
Right.
Nothing that happens during the tournament changes how the seeding was. It doesn't change the fact that South Carolina was an overseeded seven. It doesn't. I mean, they still were an overseeded seven, no matter how well they've done. And I was having a discussion with someone on Twitter yesterday about the SEC. And he's like, you said the SEC was the worst basketball conference, major basketball conference, which I did. And he's like, well, they had three teams in the Elite Eight. And I said, well, I'm not going to let a stretch of three games change my mind about what happened over the course of the entire season. I still stand by the SEC was the weakest of the major college basketball conferences. And just because three of those teams won three games in a row doesn't change my mind about that. I mean, once it's locked in, anything can happen. That's kind of the beauty of it. It's a single elimination tournament. Crazy stuff happens. South Carolina's it's not like South Carolina is now one of the four best teams in the country. They're a team that's in the Final Four, but they're not the second, third, fourth best team in the country. It's just not the way it works.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Somebody asked me, any flight problems? Now, other than it being delayed Friday night because of the weather. Although I had one weird thing happen. I'd be curious how you would react to this. I have one of those TSA pre-screening cards so that I don't have to go through the long security lines. So, and I wasn't in any rush because the flight had already been delayed 2 hours because of the weather, and I was just going to go sit in the bar and watch basketball and drink beer. But I go to the line, and there's a lady in a wheelchair blocking the entrance, while she says goodbye, presumably to her family, and they're hugging, and it's like, okay, I got to go. But no, I got to hug you again. So it's been about 5 minutes doing this, blocking off about five of us from actually going into the line. And, you know, she's in a wheelchair, so I'm not going to say anything, right? That's kind of harsh.
Right.
And obviously, it would have been real easy for her to move over 3 feet so we could go ahead and go. But that's all right. Not making a big deal out of it.
If it was a great big fat person, would you have said anything?
No, if they're in a wheelchair, no, okay?
But if what I'm saying...
Oh, if it was just a...
Yeah. Because a great big fat person takes up about the same space as someone in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I would say yes. I probably would. But the wheelchair, and obviously this was a very emotional time for everybody, so I'm like, okay. So I just sort of sit there, don't say a word, wait, and finally she goes through, really slowly, I might add, because she has to stop and wave at him every time we go through the little deal. Finally, we get through security, and the lady from the airport goes to bring the wheelchair back to her. And says, oh, no, I'm okay, and walks off. And I'm kind of like, now I'm a little pissed. As I was all sympathetic when you needed a wheelchair to get to your plane.
Yeah.
But no, and the woman was kind of shocked because she's, oh, don't worry, I'll get her to the terminal and all that stuff. And she goes and starts unfolding it again after we've gone through the security part. And she's like, oh, no, I'm good, and just walked right off.
That's laziness.
I don't know, man. I think she might have been scamming to get through security.
Was she a great big fat lady?
No.
Hmm.
She was just kind of a normal middle-aged lady. And the way they were acting, it's like she could barely move. You know, she gets her, just boom, takes off. All but skipping. Kind of like, okay.
That's weird.
Yeah, it was fairly weird. That was it. That was the one weird thing from the whole trip.
So
I would have tackled that bitch. I thought about saying something when she started walking off. I did, because kind of like, man, that was kind of a dick move, lady. But I don't know. Maybe she was just putting on an act for the family.
Maybe so.
I guess so. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. I got to tell you, man, I had an awesome time in Chicago.
That's a great town, man. And this time of year is a great time to go.
Yeah, although it pretty much rained steadily the whole 2 days, which sucks.
But was it super cold?
No, it was.
Was it super hot?
It was about 50, 55. So okay. It was with the rain and the wind, it was a little miserable.
I think I went in March or April last year, and it was perfect.
Well, they were saying, in fact, the day before it, Friday, they said it was absolutely perfect. And then it just rained the whole time I was there. Yeah. But that's such a cool city. I did a little tail of the tape for the website today. Maybe later on we'll go through it. I'll let you pick which one you would give the edge to, Houston versus Chicago.
Okay.
So there's fun kind of – there's not stuff like schools. I mean, who cares about that, right?
All right.
Yeah, it's more like beer, pizza, things like that.
Okay.
The pizza there is amazing.
So far, Houston's 0-2.
Well, yeah. Well, it's I'll tell you what the final total was, 6-4.
6-4 Chicago?
Yeah. It was closer.
Are sports teams on the list?
Sports scene is the first thing.
Oh, so 0-3.
Yeah, that's but see, if we were scoring this like a fight, it's like a 10-7 round or something.
It's a rough one. Well, pizza's a 10-7 round.
Yeah, I mean, almost all of these. Well, that's the thing. It's 6-4 in just pure edge, but if you're doing it by points, it's a rout. Yeah, sports scene Chicago. I mean, do we even need to...
Yeah, I want to know what the rest of the tally is.
Okay, so that's one for Chicago. Crime was my second one, and by crime I mean like who has the better criminals. That's Chicago. It's not even close. Capone,
yeah.
Dillinger. I did a crime
tour. I thought you meant like which city do you feel safer living in?
No.
Okay.
Like famous criminals.
See, I don't care about that.
See, I love. Well, you know, I'm a mafia.
I'm just
buff.
Looking about like livability. Like where would I rather live from a crime perspective? And I think Houston wins in that regard.
Yeah, but I gave this to Chicago because they have Al Capone and Dillinger.
But those guys are all dead.
I know, but they have that history of that. Who's the best criminal in Houston? Robert Durst? We don't even share. We have to share him with like Galveston and New Orleans.
Didn't we have a good serial killer who like killed a bunch of little boys or something?
I don't think so. But they had a guy who killed over 200. Nobody's even heard of. They're making a movie about him. I mean, it's not even close. They've had the much more attractive criminals.
Dean Corll.
See, we don't even know who he is.
Yeah.
Beer. That's Chicago.
Yeah.
It's not even. I didn't even. I just basically did one sentence on that. Architecture and like how the city looks. That's not close. That's Chicago.
I mean, it's not really fair. They've got a giant lake to...
The lake and rivers through it and all that stuff that we don't have. Plus, I got a 100-year advantage, but regardless, not close. All right. What about bars?
I don't know. I haven't been to enough bars in Chicago. I mean, I went to a handful, but...
I gave that edge to Houston significantly.
Okay.
And while I was on my crime tour, I learned that there were 10,000 speakeasies during Prohibition. There's only 2,400 bars in the city now. So it was easier to get alcohol when it was illegal.
Yeah.
But now they've got some in like a couple of areas, but we walked all over downtown, and I think maybe found three or four really cool bars, and you can get five of those on a street in Houston. So I gave Houston the edge there. Pizza, not even close.
No.
That Lou Malnati's, man.
Yeah.
That is some serious pizza. So that's Chicago. Food in general, though, I split it up.
Okay.
Houston.
Houston still wins if it's just food.
Yeah.
Strict food, I'll go Houston.
Yeah.
Do you guys New York or Chicago pizza?
I like Chicago.
I
don't like the thick, the
deep dish.
The deep dish. I like the thin crust pizzas.
But it has to be done right. See, I'm not a big deep dish guy either, but this stuff, oh my God. And like two slices and I'm completely full.
Yeah, I went to Chicago for the first time, I think maybe a year and a half ago. The pizza up there was really good, but I think I would still prefer if it was on a thinner crust.
Not me.
I guess if I could get that kind of quality pizza here, that'd be one thing, but I can't. So
you know why Houston wins with food?
Well,
we have Raising Cane's.
Yeah, that puts you over the top.
Yeah, they don't have Raising Cane's in Chicago. And we have a ton of Raising Cane's here. We've got 24 locations in the Houston area alone. Suck on that, Chi-Town. Raising Cane's, what makes them great is they care about one thing and one thing only, and that is making fantastic chicken finger meals. And they do it every day. Always fresh, never frozen, 24-hour marinated, hand-battered chicken. And that's what they've got at Raising Cane's. They've got the fresh ingredients, they don't even start cooking them until you walk in the door. There's no hot lamp that the bunch of chicken fingers are sitting over. That's not the way it works. They've got the great sides, the crinkle-cut fries, the Texas toast, the cane sauce, which is pretty much the perfect condiment. Made it fresh in their restaurants every day at Cane's. If you don't know what I'm talking about, if you're saying, man, what is this Raising Cane's? What's it all about? You need to go in and check it out for yourself, and you will see that this is a different level of chicken finger meal. Raising Cane's, 24 locations in the Houston area. Find the one nearest you and get on that tonight. Raising Cane's, one love.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Anxious about the recent election and the impact on your business? Let HRNP help you navigate through the uncertainty.
Who knew you'd be hated for being who you are? And be a big target for all the insecure.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and we were just doing Houston versus Chicago and food in general. Went to Houston, and we have Wingstop, too.
That's right, guys.
Wingstop is the sponsor of the ESPN SB Nation Bracket Challenge. 73 Houston locations, 12 flavors. The new flavor is the Brazilian Citrus Pepper. Great for college basketball tournament, classic, boneless, or crispy tenders. Order online at wingstop.com. All right, here's the last two categories. We'll see what you where you would have gone. Last three. Attractiveness of the people, which I would say.
I'm going to say we've got better women down
well,
there.
Well, I would have thought that going in. Now, maybe it's because I was in downtown where all the tourists are.
Right.
But, and maybe it's also because there were a bunch of redheads, and we all know my proclivities for that.
Yeah.
But the guys in general were more fit. There's a lot more active people there, which I wouldn't expect in a place where it's cold as hell for 3 months out of the year.
Right.
And I'm going to give them the edge on the women.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so Chicago won that one. That was the closest of them, though.
I don't know that you maybe you didn't get a full enough sample.
Maybe not, but I you know, probably saw 100, 150, 200. But and again, probably tourists. So it, you know, it's kind of maybe it's cheating, you know, because they're importing tourists. But I'm going to say, from what I saw for 2 days, I'm giving them the edge. And the guys, it's not close, because most of the guys here look like me.
That's true.
Weather. I'm guessing you would take Chicago.
It depends. Like this time of year, I'll usually take Chicago, like March, April.
Yeah, but as a whole, it gets really hot there too in the summer.
Yeah, I don't need that snow, so yeah. I would take Houston.
I give Houston the edge, even though you know during the summer you can't walk outside or you'll die.
Like April is the sweet spot for Chicago.
Yeah, yeah, and finally, cost of living / partying.
Oh, Houston.
Yeah, that's a big one for Houston. So it came out 6-4. Maybe it's closer than I thought. Because there's a couple where I think Houston gets a big edge, but the main ones at the top, that's all Chicago. It's not close. So
yeah, the main ones like beer and pizza.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Everything and else sports. Is like a, and sports.
Everything else is a subcategory.
So if you want to read that in detail, it's on the website. 713-780-ESPN. A lot of people asking, what do you think about Vegas Raiders?
I mean, I'm excited about it. We're going to be out there. I mean, we're out there all the time. We've been to Oakland once, and it was for the Super Bowl, so yeah. You know the Raiders weren't playing. No, I think it's cool that we'll, you know, when you go visit Vegas now, you'll have an opportunity to go watch a game live. I think it's a cool thing. I think if you don't like it for the Raiders, you haven't seen their stadium. Because I'm telling you, if you saw the stadium the Raiders play in, you would understand why they're leaving.
Yeah.
And the city of Oakland refuses to help them with a new one. I don't blame them at all. I mean, an NFL team shouldn't be playing in that stadium.
No. And I think I am a little worried about Vegas from one perspective. I don't know. If football is easier because there's only one game a week. But I'm wondering how many sports teams that they can actually support there. Because you're already going to have the hockey team, and now you're going to have an NFL team. And I'm guessing everybody else is going to want to follow suit.
Well, let's also be serious. The NFL shouldn't be worried about that.
No, the NFL shouldn't be worried about
hockey,
that.
The hockey team should be worried about that.
I think because they're kind of the first, they may be okay. But I think if you try to put an NBA team there now or even a baseball team, you know, there's not enough people there fan base wise to do more than a couple.
No, I'm with
you. To me, it's very much like Nashville. Nashville can support two. I don't think you could put another team there.
No, they should probably cut it off at what it is now.
Yeah, but you watch, they'll have success, and then somebody else will want to move in there.
Maybe so.
Because that arena is just freaking awesome. 713-780-ESPN. One thing, though, that I kind of wanted to get to, and I saw this over the weekend. I was just kind of surfing while I was sitting on the train somewhere, that Florio did, talking about the NFL going to Vegas. And it's just one of those dumb things. This is why I really, he's become my least favorite troll, you know, even worse than Skip, just because he makes up stuff to try to create a story. I mean, just makes it up. And then the headline makes it sound like this is a real issue. Here's the headline: Vegas gambling issues falling on deaf ears within NFL. And it just says, per a source with knowledge of the situation, meaning him, some are indeed sounding alarms about moving a team to the nation's gambling capital. Those alarms seem to be obscured by the sound of the league's looming jackpot. What alarms?
I don't get that.
Back
in the day, I understood it when the NFL wanted to pretend like gambling wasn't real.
Yeah, and then they got in bed with DraftKings and those guys. So, but here's where one of those things where you just start making assumptions that are really stupid and makes it sound like you've created something. Says, put simply, players and their families will be moving into a place where gambling is everywhere. While some have argued that nearly any player on any team is already within driving distance of a casino, casinos in most places are destinations. That's fair, but guess what? You know what you left out? They can bet on their damn phone if they want to.
That's true.
Says, at some point, the lure of gambling will tempt everyone, even those who believe they are sufficiently self-disciplined to avoid it. You know, almost everybody I know in Vegas hardly gambles at all, and because it's there all the time. You don't. But it's at some point, see, this is where it starts getting into, I'm going to add this and add this. At some point, someone with a significant gambling debt will be ripe to be compromised.
Okay, so the wife of a trainer gets into gambling trouble, and she's going to help fix a game. Florio, are you bleeping kidding me?
Well,
that I mean, it's just,
we know what happened when Tim Donaghy was refereeing games in Vegas. Oh,
yeah, that right.
Oh, wait, he wasn't reffing games in Vegas.
I will say this to the same, you know, anybody who actually believes all that, you know, who keeps closer tabs on this stuff than anybody? Vegas. If there's going to be any impropriety out there, they're going to find out about it and they'll report it. They've done that before. In a lot of these scandals, that was Vegas. So they found it. It's one of those things. I was like, where's the outrage? No, here's the outrage on your stupid comments. I'm outraged over that. And they'll do their best to educate people to let them know. But honestly, if it's, you're around it all the time, it's easy to avoid. All right. Tell you what else it's easy to avoid. It's easy to avoid forgetting important dates and, you know, not sending flowers when you should, because Pro Flowers has made it easier for you. They've come out with an ultimate solution to make sure this never happens again. They've just launched their brand new Pro Gifter service. It's the easiest fail-proof way to never forget an event and look awesome all year. The Pro Gifter service allows you to schedule 3 bouquet deliveries to 3 addresses, same or different, up to a year in advance. So if you procrastinate or forget anniversaries or birthdays like I do all the time, this is a service for you. 3 bouquets with vases and free shipping, all for $99.
Yeah, also, it's going to save you money. It's up to $70 in savings just by doing it all together. And Pro Flowers buys directly from the best growers. You know you're getting fresh flowers. They've got the 7-day freshness guarantee or your money back. They all pass a 7-point quality check before they're shipped, so you know they're going to look good. And I know you're thinking of some occasions throughout the year that you need to send flowers for. Why not take care of it now? Go to proflowers.com. Look for the Pro Gifter banner right on the homepage. Pick your flowers, set the delivery date, and you're done. It's that simple. It's Pro Flowers, proflowers.com.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I bet the Astros over 90.5. Oh, I've got all the updated numbers, and I think we'll go through those in the 6 o'clock hour. Man, I would lean under on Astros. I hate to say it. I would lean under on Astros because
the Astros can still win 87 games, 85 games, and be a success.
Yeah, and I think that's, to me, that's kind of the ceiling. I don't
know that they've got the pitching to win 90-plus games.
Not on the roster right now. So if you're doing that, you're having faith that they're going to make a move at some point.
Which they might, but they also haven't – they've been hesitant to trade away big time prospects, even with the opportunity to get solid pitching, and I don't know why that would change.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. But somebody was asking about, do you think the NBA or I think NBA or baseball will move to Vegas, and I think it'll be a mistake because unless it happens very soon, especially with the hockey team. That is going to, I mean, they're not going to have a big local fan base.
Right.
But that's one where during the winter, there's people down there. Well, we see it every time we go. There's people from all over Canada and the Midwest and stuff that'll go to see their teams when they play in Vegas. So I don't think they're going to have any problems with that.
Well, I would say if an NBA team came to town, the NHL should be worried.
Yeah, see, I think the NHL will do better than the NBA because of the people.
No, I don't.
No, the people who winter there, come on, you see them. They're all people from hockey areas. That's why you go there in the winter. It's Vegas. It's warm. And I don't know that NBA fans...
What market does the NHL do better than the NBA in?
Toronto.
What American market does the NHL do better than the NBA in?
I'd have to research it.
I'd go out on a limb and say there's not one.
But I just think you're talking about a different kind of person that goes there and vacations all winter and can afford to. And... I think, and it also depends on what kind of NBA team you get. If you get some scrubby team in there,
There's just
hell, what's the NHL team?
Well, they're going to be scrubby, but at least I think they're going to do better than you do.
I just think that most of the traffic to those games, just like the NFL games, will be from tourists. And
well, yeah, that's my point. And that kind of tourist is who is there during hockey season. It's hockey people. You see it when you go through the casinos. You see them everywhere. And Blackhawks fans are going to go there to see the Blackhawks. And people who can't get tickets at home are going to be able to get tickets there. The football thing will be different. I think you'll get a lot of people from California.
I just think Vegas, I mean, the reason why the NBA would do better than the NHL there is because the NBA is about star power. And, other night you could put up on the marquee, oh, LeBron James is coming tonight, Kevin Durant's coming. I mean, and people in Vegas eat that garbage up.
Yeah, except, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that it seems to me the NBA is more accessible to people.
Yeah.
Than what a hockey team would be there, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, for us, it's definitely more accessible.
Well, yeah, because we don't have one. But I also think, I know a lot of people who live in markets like that spend a month down there, and they're going to go to two or three games. They do that. That's like, if you go to a Coyotes game, that's all there's half the time, that's all it is people from Canada that are wintering down there. And so I think you'll get some of that. I just don't know if the team sucks. I don't know how long they'll be patient. I don't know how much of a fan base they'll have.
I think any baseball team that is going to a new market is going to struggle.
Yeah.
I mean, I think baseball has too many teams as it is.
Well, I think the NBA has too many teams. And hockey has too many teams.
Yeah, I think all those teams. Besides the NFL, everybody's got too many teams.
Yeah, yeah. They could all cut six of them out, and you'd have a better product. But as far as the NFL goes, I think you will draw a lot of – because the Raiders already have a national fan base.
Yeah.
And I think you will draw from California.
I think so, too.
And I think you'll have a fan base there. I think it's going to do great.
LA has a huge Raiders fan base.
Yeah.
And currently, LA is going to have two teams that they could give a damn about. Yeah. And they'll drive that few hours to get to Vegas.
And that's somebody makes a great point. It's like Vegas is great at hosting events, and they're going to be treated like eight separate events. And that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be perfect. I really do. And it's the perfect franchise to put in Las Vegas. And if you're a Raiders fan who lives in Oakland, it's still not that far away. And, you know, you've lost them before, so I guess you're used to it by now. But it just seems like the perfect fit to me. And maybe I'm biased because I like Vegas, but.
Yeah.
And somebody says, it's hard to okay building a stadium when the city's claiming to not have money for the police department. Well, that's.
You shouldn't have a pro football team, and unless you can say, well, if the Raiders leave, does it save us money? And if that, but I would think having an NFL franchise is good business for a city. But what do I know? I mean,
yeah. That's somebody mentioned Capitals greater than the Wizards in Washington. I'd have to check
attendance numbers. I mean,
yeah. Well, I think the Capitals have been really good for a long time, and Ovechkin, you talk about star power. So.
Yeah. But I would also think that Washington, D.C. is a pretty urban area.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. I mean, maybe Minnesota. Maybe the Wild. I don't know.
I'll check them.
Yeah, those are the ones I would look. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in. And you know, it's funny because I was having this conversation with some people this weekend about from Chicago about what were the most popular teams. And there's people in Chicago, some of them were saying the Blackhawks are bigger than the Bulls right now, but that goes back and forth. But the one thing they said, Bears are always the number one thing, even when they're not good.
Yeah.
And that surprised me because the Cubs, obviously, but the Cubs are a national team. And I think the Bulls will become a national team. But, I think it's interesting where things can be successful.
Minnesota, you're absolutely right.
Okay.
The Timberwolves are the worst attended team in the NBA. And the Wizard or the Caps, or not the Caps, the Wild, there is only – now, granted, they – can only fit so many people into their stadium, but they are at 106% capacity for every game.
That's
so there's only three teams that have more percentage-wise capacity are four teams. Winnipeg, who I guess they have a really small stadium.
Yeah, they do.
Because they're at 107.9, but they're 24th in attendance.
Yeah.
And then the others are teams that you would expect to be pretty high up on the list. Chicago, 110%. Toronto, 108%. And Pittsburgh, 111%.
So. I'd be curious how the Blackhawks and the Bulls, I'd be curious about the Capitals, and I'd be curious about the Red Wings and the Pistons. I guess that'd be the other three that I would wonder about.
The Bulls are they're the best attended team in the NBA. So that's they. Well,
I guess they both sell out every game.
They both sell out every game.
So that's the same.
Yeah.
But I'd wonder about Detroit and Washington.
I'm sure Detroit has better attendance than the Pistons. But also remember, for the Pistons right now, their stadium's not even in Detroit.
Right.
So they're
they're
going to be.
Right.
And I'm guessing that will help them. But right now, it's a haul to get to the Pistons games.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776.
Yeah, but you're right. In general, it's not as lopsided as I would have thought. NBA to NHL attendance.
Well, and it's numbers. Not something you would think about being down here.
Yeah. But
like I said, kind of, you know, when I've traveled to some of these places to see the people who travel to go to games like that, it surprises me a little. But hey, guys, were you in an accident over the weekend? You know, slip and fall accident, car or truck, maybe got an overtime claim. There's only one thing to do. You better dial Dave. Call Mestemaker and Straub, and they're committed to your success. And if you've been injured, it's really difficult to focus on your medical treatment, and at the same time, you're dealing with insurance forms and questions. Well, those insurance companies, they have lawyers. Well, you need a lawyer, and you need a lawyer who will fight for you. And with these guys, you're going to have a specialized attorney who will deal with the insurance companies while you go on recovering. And maybe you think you might have a case. Maybe you don't know. Well, guess what? They'll let you know for free. You can call them right now and tell them what's up, and they'll tell you whether or not they can help you. 713-626-8900, 713-626-8900. Don't wait. Call Houston-based Mestemaker and Straub, 713-626-8900. And, guys, it's not just accidents. Dave and his crew, they can do anything. And he's my lawyer. He's taking care of a lot of stuff for me, a lot of my business stuff. Can help you out. Only one lawyer you need. You can go to LawyerDave.com, 713-626-8900. 713-626-8900. If you've been in an accident, better dial Dave.
ESPN 97.5.